This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
In the darkness, and a new poll shows Republicans' willingness to subvert the 2020 election. What does that mean? And more pressure for bipartisanship over infrastructure. That's coming out of D.C. too, although that looks like that can happen. And if they do get an infrastructure deal, there may be something that has a little of this, a little of that for the Republicans and for the Democrats. Can you imagine? Ooh. Let's throw a parade. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for hanging out with us. Whether you're new to the show or you've been here a long, long time, take a stroll on our virtual red carpet and have a seat. First, I hate to open this way, and it's so scary when I see this, because as a news reporter, I covered a couple of collapses. Nothing like what I'm seeing of this partial building collapse near Miami, but there are people, so many, like I said, unaccounted for, so there's a lot of panic in Surfside, Florida. One person was killed, 11 definitely injured. The Miami-Dade mayor said there's still too many people that we can't find at this point. They're even throwing out consistently emergency numbers for people to call if they have relatives who haven't been accounted for at this point. And you see the collapse of the building, and it just crumbled. I mean, it almost looked like something that you'd see if they were imploding, if it was being in a building that was being imploded and it had like a slow crumble. So just a terrible sight to see this, and so many people feel fortunate. You know, it's one of those things where I just almost stepped into the building, or I was away from the building, or, you know, they say the silence is just deafening at the scene of the collapsed building. And this is the Champlain Towers, which is something that you see. I mean, Bell Harbor is around a mile north of Surfside, Florida, where that collapse happened. And I know that area. I've been by that area. And it's a popular building. And it's looked like it was in really, really decent condition. I mean, this is such a serious situation that the president said, hey, FEMA's ready to go. If the Florida governor says this is a state of emergency after this collapse, we are absolutely, we're in. We're in if you need it. Boom, that's it. Really, really, really sad to see this. And like I said, picture a really giant, big building where it starts to look like it's being imploded, and that's what you get when you look at this. All right, polls, polls, polls. You can twist them and use them in any direction you want. That's what I think about polls, fact or fiction. It just depends on your point of view and where the poll's coming from. So a new poll released on Thursday shows this research that was conducted by the Democracy Fund, which is a nonpartisan foundation, which is why I mentioned it. They study voter attitudes toward democratic institutions, and they work to supposedly strengthen democracy in the U.S. The polls found that after the election, a supermajority of Republicans backed the former president's efforts to overturn the results. 86% said his legal challenges were appropriate. 79% said they weren't confident in the national vote tally. And 68% said Trump really won. Another 54% said Trump should never concede. And, you know, we've seen now the state legislatures that are talking about what's happening. And we saw what happened in Arizona. And now we see what's happening with laws in various states, and what the Supreme Court just did in keeping the feds out of elections in the sense of re-racking a few things that would be really, really important for all states if they took over the majority of what would be the way you vote in a sense, and that's a simplistic way to say this. So it's interesting because I think that what we're seeing is that more and more people still believe at this point that it was rigged. Only 34% of Trump voters say they would accept Biden as the legitimate president in the post-election polls. And that pales in comparison to similar surveys conducted by Gallup after previous controversial elections. I mean, 60% of Al Gore voters in 2000 accepted George W. Bush's legitimacy. 76% of Hillary Clinton voters in 2016 accepted Trump's as president. So this is interesting to watch because of the massive amounts of conversations that are happening about voting, early voting, mail-in ballots, and how you stop any kind of fraud when it comes to, you know, going out and voting. And I've talked about this before, that to me, and I don't know that this would, I don't know that this would stop problems of any sort ever. There's no 100%, but because, you know, think of the hanging chads and the problem with that and the recount there and the hand counts and the challenge to the that went all the way up to the Supreme Court. To me, I think it should be a national holiday. Give us 12. We now have 11 with Juneteenth. Give us 12 and encourage more people to go out and vote. You have the whole day off. Vote. And let's see if the numbers go up, because I think so much of it is about the numbers, the numbers, the numbers, the numbers, right? That there's not enough people that are out there that are, they say they're voting, but then they're not voting. And then that affects, certainly locally it affects elections, but it does on the national level too, especially when we're talking about a presidential election. All right, infrastructure. There's a framework that supposedly has bipartisan support. Bernie Sanders, who's more than a meme anymore, says bipartisan infrastructure bill ain't going to happen without reconciliation, because now this is the big tug of war for the 4th of July. So he said on a show on Sirius XM that a deal on a bipartisan deal is not going to happen unless there's a major reconciliation bill that concerns climate change, Medicare expansion, and other progressive issues. Because remember, Joe Biden announced on Thursday that the White House made a deal with the bipartisan group of senators on infrastructure, but several Democratic senators have already smashed the bill, smashed the agreement. They don't like it. They're taking a stick to it and hitting it like it's a pinata. So I'm not so sure that there will be any sort of a parade to highlight bipartisanship. You know, it should be easy. We need to rebuild roads. We need to rebuild bridges. We need to rebuild tunnels. There is not a problem there. We know that. You know, figure out how to pay for it. Do it. It will create jobs. It is necessary in so many cities. Raise your hand if you can name a bridge that needs to be fixed or a highway in your area. You know, I have those special glasses where I can see across the land, and I see lots of hands going up. I'm so serious about that. You can email me, kate@katedelaneyradio.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A 1 pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com. I think on a lot of people's minds, because I got a lot of mail about this, about the condo and the rubble and what it looked like and how shocking it was that hundreds are worried about relatives and friends. So I'm just going to give you a couple that I got. I got this one from Eric, who says, "Hey, Kate, I used to live in Miami, and I know that you were married to somebody once that was from Miami, and I think you know that area like I do, and it's crazy to see what happened to that building, that condo that just collapsed. You could see all the people that were outside of the building, and there was a lot of a panic, it looked like to me, because it was the only thing you saw during the, during the day once that happened. And I thought of the snowbirds, but I guess a lot of them weren't, some of them weren't back up north yet for the summer, because that's usually what happens in South Florida. So you can only imagine the people who might have been caught in this. And it is very, very strange looking, I have to say. And it really does, as somebody who lived there, it really does take your breath away. I guess that's the best way to say that. And then I got this one from Derek, who says, "Kate, I spent a lot of time in Miami. I used to work for the Heat, and I know that area well, that condo that just collapsed, and it is eerie looking. It almost looks like a scene from the Gaza Strip if you just strictly looked at what was happening to the condos falling apart and how they're just kind of vanished before people's eyes." And that's one of those things where, some people will be talking about the fact that they weren't in their condo, and others will be saying that they lost somebody because they happened to be in there at that time. And I fear for people that were older, and how in the heck were they going to get out of there? Yeah, absolutely. All right. So yes, that is the big thing that people are talking about, no matter where you live. It's very strange. Whatever search engine you have, if you want to see something horrific where you just say, oh, wow. I mean, look at the front of this. I don't know how many people they're going to find in this. You can look it up, that Miami building. All right, vaccinations. That is, of course, the topic. To be vaccinated, not to be vaccinated, vaccination cards. What countries will let you in and travel? And well, what about what happens into the future? And what about these variants? I mean, that makes your head spin, right? That's the talk. That's pandemic podcasting. I mean, you hear it everywhere, right? So 178.3 million have been vaccinated, and that includes more than 151.3 million people have been fully vaccinated in the United States, fully. In the last week, an average of 816,000 doses per day were administered, but a 40% decrease over the week before. No way, no how, and already the White House has said that. Is that number going to reach 70%? I don't think that it ever reaches 70%. The thought of the Biden administration is, when he took over, you know, one of the first things he said was to get that herd immunity from the science. His goal was to get to that 70% by 4th of July. Now the conversation is, what about teens and vaccines? What about if you don't have a vaccine and you feel fine, and why shouldn't you be able to do what other people are doing? There's still these massive arguments over vaccinations, and we see that it's happening where the fights are out of hand on flights, because you have to wear a mask. All the airlines, it's required. Transportation, it's required. But there's people that are pushing back on that, and they don't care what the fine is, because so it's like a massive record amount of fines that keep getting handed out because of unruly passengers. I mean, that usually it centers around the mask. So officially, from Johns Hopkins University, the total of people who have died from coronavirus in the United States, 602,000. And the word is that, you know, more than 33,000 cases, at least, have been reported. Or I should say 33 million cases have been reported. This is the number since February of 2020. That's the 602,000. More Americans are getting vaccinated. Some aren't. And a big chunk of, I think, our country feels pretty safe, like the pandemic is receding, because the deadliest month was January 2021, when an average of more than 3,100 people died every day of COVID-19. And it's interesting, because when we went into this, if you re-racked anything that I had to say about COVID and the conversations I had with scientists, all kinds of different points of view, in my mind, I honestly thought, naively, I guess, when we flipped the calendar into 2021, we weren't going to see that. That so much of that would be behind us, but it wasn't. Numbers did drop in January and February. By mid-May, fewer than 30,000 people were testing positive for the virus a day, roughly one-tenth of the January peak, and fewer than 600 per day were dying. I was looking at some of those statistics from Johns Hopkins and from the Washington Post, some of the numbers they crunched from them, too. That's what their source is that they quote. And then just the pace of vaccinations, as I already mentioned, when they were peaking. So the idea is it's numbers, 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 and looking at anomalies and looking at averages and looking at those deadly variants and where we're seeing most of the spikes. And we're seeing most of the cases, I guess, you know, still, and there's still cases. You know, the virus was initially concentrated, we all know this, in New York, with, 53,000 people dying, and in places where vulnerable people congregated, like nursing homes, factories, prisons, and it eventually hit the whole country and even reached in some of those remote areas. There were milestones along the way, some of them horrible milestones and some of them great milestones of getting over, passing over and through some of the worst of the worst. I say this all the time. To me, it feels like a brand new day. I see people, they're friendly, they're smiling from all walks of life. People are happy to be out there. People are happy to be going into a store, feeling confident, not wearing a mask, not running back to the car to get a mask because they're vaccinated, or the honor system of, hey, we're sitting closer in restaurants, and if you're vaccinated, feel free, don't wear the mask. And certainly at sporting events, that has opened so much wider because you had, you know, cardboard cutouts of people. And now that's getting back to normal. And I think when you look at sports, and whether you're a sports fan or not, it is absolutely a microcosm of society because more people feel safe. More people are going to games. And naturally, teams want to see more people out there. And there, we're still in that deal time of, you know, getting through COVID, meaning attracting people, more people to come, to go to a ballpark, to go to an arena, to, you know, be in places where they haven't been in 15 months, to get on a plane, they haven't gotten on a plane in 15 months, some people 2 years, to go and see people that they haven't seen for so, so long because they couldn't. And even if there were people you could be around where that, where your mini bubble expanded, there were still many, many, many people that you couldn't go and see, that you knew it might be risky or you just couldn't see them, and they weren't having any of it anyway. So grandmothers being reunited with their grandchildren and grandfathers and all of that, and parents and kids and all of it. And that's what it really, really feels like to me. It's a great feeling. Conan O'Brien, just a quick side note here, a tip of the cap to him. What an incredible comedy writer I think Conan O'Brien is. So the 75-minute Conan finale, which is twice as long as the usual half-hour version of the show, it's a wrap. You know, it's history for him. 28 years in late night TV for O'Brien. Started in 93 with NBC's Late Night and then NBC's The Tonight Show, and then for the last 11 years on TBS. Wow. That's a long time to survive in a very, very tough, tough arena. Coming up, mic drop.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Rescue crews in Surfside, Florida continued to look through rubble after a high-rise condo partially collapsed at 1:30 in the morning. Nearly 100 people are still unaccounted for.
I can assure you that these fire rescue personnel, the best in the world, the ones that are called upon to come out in crises everywhere, are working as hard as could possibly be. They are so motivated.
Miami-Dade County Mayor Daniela Levine Cava. She said structural engineers are trying to determine what caused the collapse. There are reports that the roof was being worked on at the time. The New York State Appellate Court suspended Rudy Giuliani's law license after concluding that he lied about the election fraud. Giuliani made demonstrably false and misleading statements about the 2020 election. This is USA Radio News. A man who was sentenced to life in prison for killing two people in what authorities describe as a racially motivated shooting at a Kentucky Kroger has received another life sentence. A federal judge sentenced Gregory Bush, 53, to life plus 10 years for six federal hate crime and firearm charges. The New York State Appellate Court suspended Rudy Giuliani's law license after concluding that he lied about the election fraud. The decision by a disciplinary panel stated that Giuliani, former President Trump's personal lawyer, made demonstrably false and misleading statements about the 2020 election. The state also ties Giuliani's false claims about an unfair election that helped incite the storming of the Capitol in January. The ruling states several instances of misconduct and misstatements by Giuliani, which served as the basis for its motion to suspend his license. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Thanks for listening to us. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. A couple of quick reminders. You can always hit me up through the miracle of the Internet. 24/7, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Without further ado, I'm not going to make you wait for this. I think this is exciting. To me, this really is incredible when you find things like this. A boat captain found a message in a bottle. Isn't there a song, Message in a Bottle? From 1926. And it led to an important phone call. So this is what happened. The boat captain was scuba diving in a Michigan river, found this bottle, saw a note in it. Jennifer Dowker, the owner of Glass Bottom Boat Tour Company, Nautical, North Family Adventures, was scuba diving on June 18th, to clean the windows on the bottom of her boat. She was looking for something that would be interesting to her client's interest. She said she collects little bottles and she finds things on the ground of the river when she's diving pretty often. And she said she has a double-headed axe blade. That's the thing that she found the last time she washed the windows. She spotted this green bottle on top of a fish bed, and she could see there was paper in the bottle. She thought, that's kind of cool. Then she read the word this on the paper inside the bottle and thought, wow, that's really cool. So the bottle was filled with two-thirds water and had a badly deteriorated cork. She was able to use a pick to pull out a note dated November 1926. It read, "Will the person who finds this bottle return this paper to George Morrow and tell him in Sheboygan, Michigan, where it was found?" She posted pictures of her find on the company's Facebook page because she knew a couple of Morrows in that area. And little did she know her post would go viral. She woke up the next day and had lots of messages from different people saying, "Yeah, this could be so-and-so, etc." And sure enough, she was driving back from her father's house on Father's Day. She got a phone call from Michelle Primo, who had received a call from a woman who saw the story about the bottle on Facebook and investigated it by going on to Ancestry.com. That's right. You want to find out about your relatives, you go to Ancestry, right? She emailed the pictures of the letter, and as soon as she mailed it to Michelle Primo, she said she knew it was her father's handwriting, and it was found in Sheboygan. He was born in Sheboygan, lived there until his 20s, and she said it was interesting because he threw the letter in the river in November, and his birthday is in November. And she said she remembered when they were changing the medicine cabinet in their bathroom, and they found a message that the dad had written on the wall, too. Her father passed away in 1995. Mic drop! How cool is that? I think that's the coolest thing. She finds, she's diving and, you know, cleaning and finds this thing and then puts it out there and then boom. What a great memory for the daughter to have, and think of when that went in the water. 1926 is crazy. And he had pretty good penmanship because you can see the letter, and he had some pen, you know, he had some cursive and some where he had printed it. And the bottle was one of those cool old bottles. I guess you never know what you're going to find. So if she wasn't one of those people that picked things up and looked at things and wanted, when she was taking her boats out, wanted people to be able to really get a sense of, you know, what's out there, then she wouldn't have found that message in the bottle. That's a great mic drop moment. To get that kind of a phone call, and then it's on Father's Day, it's right there on Father's Day. Very, very cool, right? All right, so are you making plans for the 4th of July? If you are, you are not alone. Because, remember, people want to travel now. And, in fact, in some cases, it's really hard to get reservations at places, which is great for my friends in hospitality. 4th of July travel is almost back to pre-pandemic levels, they say. 47.7 million Americans expected to hit the road or skies July 1st through the 5th. It's supposed to be the second highest Independence Day travel volume on record. Oh, I believe it. People are itching to get out. 5% fewer travelers than 2019, according to AAA. But that's a big number. I mean, travel is in full swing this summer. No matter where somebody's going, they're going. Even if it's sort of a quasi staycation, people are taking short jaunts to neighboring states or, you know, whatever. I mean, everyone I know is going somewhere, whether it's just to a different city, something to get out and to be out there. And Hawaii, not surprisingly, is very big. Maui, huge. Kahului in Maui, big, 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 big. Who knows if you can even get a room there. Atlanta, people are getting away. Other people that go to Atlanta are going to Atlanta. Chicago, Seattle, Las Vegas, Denver. And, of course, what do you think is like number – what do you think one and two destination would be in the United States of America for people who have been trapped for, you know, 15 months? They want to see Mickey. So Orlando, Florida. Forget about trying to get rooms. Forget about it. Anaheim, California, same thing. Just jammed. People ready to take kids on vacations, grandparents, parents, other people who just want to go because they're junkies for Disney. You know, there's the Disney fans, and that's what they do. No matter how old they are, they just love it. I know two people like that. It's all about Disney. You know, they just want to go to Disney. They have kids, but it's really about them, and it's about constantly going back and forth and back and forth to Disney, and they haven't been now in those 15 months either, so they're ready to roll. Interesting, if you have a 401k or you have a little bit of do-re-mi in the market, it's been a wild, I think, 15 months for stocks. You go through the tail end of the last presidency and into this current presidency. Stocks closed higher on Wall Street on Thursday. Traders pretty encouraged to see the thing that I've been talking about, the infrastructure spending deal. You know, the bipartisan deal on infrastructure spending. If they can get it done, focus on just the meat of it. So the S&P 500, another record high, beating the peak it set earlier last week. It's all about news. Good news means stocks go up, or a big chunk of the market goes up. Any bad news, it rocks down. And it doesn't mean every stock, but it rocks indexes down. The plan could be, it looks like, $973 billion over 5 years. Boy, they have been talking about this so, so long. I hope it doesn't get sticky with all this other, all the other agendas that, you know, Bernie Sanders and others are talking about, because that won't fly. That has to be something completely separate. If it's just roads, bridges, and other infrastructure, that's good. Because then you think stocks of companies that make machinery and materials, that's going to jump. Caterpillar went up 2.6%. Vulcan Materials, 3.3%. I'm not going to dive deep into stocks and hit you over the head with it, but it's just interesting as a barometer of what's happening in our country to look at what's happening stock-wise, and that there are real telltale signs there, real telltale signs, without a doubt. I mean, wow, right? Somebody asked me this question. We used to do a Tech Tuesday, and I'm going to go back to doing a Tech Tuesday and rip through some of the things that are easy to work with technology-wise and some other sticky things that happen with technology. But I read a story the other day about some of the best streaming devices that have been tested, and there's so many, right? The Roku Ultra, the Google and Google TV Chromecast, the Roku Streaming Stick, that's what we have, the Roku Express 4K, the Apple TV 4K, Amazon Fire TV Stick 4K, is this just sounding like nothing to all of you? Amazon Fire TV Cube, people talk about that. The Google Chromecast Ultra and the Roku Express, right? Kind of in top order, Consumer Reports and others picked the Roku Ultra 4800R, right? Because here's how I would rate it. Does it work? Is it easy to use? Can you fast forward? Can you jump on? Are you constantly having to reset everything? Is it a hassle? Can you figure it out? If you go to Roku and then you can figure it out and then poof, you can get on to whatever you need. I mean, everything now is so much about apps, right? And how you can program it from your phone and how you can even record whatever's coming up if you missed something. It is crazy. If we went back in a time capsule 30 years ago, how fast technology is moving, would we ever have predicted that? Yes, we were seeing what was happening on the landscape, but would we ever predict how quickly things change? I mean, a blink of the eye and something new comes out. Or you have to change another iOS system. Oh, time to change. Gotta hit it. Gotta change it. Stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, going to introduce you to a man who's written an interesting Western. Hang with us. As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Green room right now, Kelsey Gates. He's written a book called Shad 2. In fact, he's written a lot of books. And this is a Western book. It reminded me so much of Louis L'Amour, and my grandfather was a voracious reader, especially of Louis L'Amour stuff. I think he read everything and then passed it on to me. And his writing very much reminds me of that style. Kelsey, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, you're quite welcome, Kate. Thank you.
So, first of all, let's talk about your writing. What led you to write these novels? What led you in this direction?
Well, I just started writing one night. I was watching TV, and I just was bored by myself, you know. And I was bored to death, and I thought, well, you know, I started writing poetry just out of the clear blue sky. And so after a while of writing poetry, I had some of it published, and then after a while I decided I'd write a novel. So I started a novel, a fairy tale, and I thought that no one could dispute what I was saying because everything was made up. I didn't have to do a lot of research. I could just do it out of my head. Anyway, I got about five chapters into this fairy tale called The Treasure of the Crystal Cave, and I thought, yeah, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. So I thought, well, I have read all of Louis L'Amour's books, Westerns, so I thought I would just write a Western. So I started writing a Western. And over 200,000 words later, I was finished.
I love that. Over 2,000 words later, I was finished. So you definitely felt comfortable doing that.
Yeah, well, I had joined a writer's club, too, a writer's group in Bakersfield, California, and we critiqued everybody's work, and you had to give them so many pages a day and stuff, which pushed me through, and I had people reading the book as I was writing it, and I'd give them, like, a chapter, and they would want to know, well, what's going to happen next? And I says, I don't have a clue what's going to happen next. And so I had about seven people reading it, and they all wanted to know about it and everything. So they finished reading it with me, and they all loved it. And I found out that when you write, the more you write, the better you become as a writer. And I was about half through with this book, and I thought, I don't know how I'm going to end this book, you know, and I kept thinking I can't just keep writing this forever till I die. And so finally the end came to me. So I wrote the ending, and then I kept pushing it down with my computer as I wrote the fill in between the middle and the end. And then I finally got to the end. And when I did that, I was all through with it, and I got it self-published. And then I went back to my fairy tale book, and I had taken me a year to write this other part, the Chateau book, and so I went back to the fairy tale, and I thought, boy, this is a bunch of garbage. So I had to rewrite it, and I rewrote it, and then it's a smaller book, and so I had it published also.
Yeah, and tell us the story about Chateau. Give us just a little sneak peek of what it's about.
Well, it's about a 10-year-old boy lost from a wagon train headed west, and have a river crossing, and everybody's tired, and they stop for lunch, and it's hotter than heck out there in the desert, and so the kid wanders off, and he's hot, and he decides he's going to take a swim in the river because it's cold, and he takes off his clothes, hides them under a bush, and then he gets in the river, and unbeknown to him, he's drifting downstream, and he doesn't know he's drifting downstream, and the people in the wagon train start looking for him, and they can't find him, and they look for about 2 hours, and they said that he must have drowned, so they took off. Well, the kid starts out after the wagon train. He's going to catch up to him, but he can't even see him. They're already out of sight over the horizon. And so he's sleeping out in the desert with no food, no water. And he wakes up one early morning, and he sees this Indian with a knife crouched over him. And so then the Indian pulls the knife back and comes back with his hand with a water pouch and gives the kid a drink. And then he takes the kid up in the mountains with him, and he raises him as his own. Since he had lost his family in a massacre, and the son is this boy, 10-year-old boy, has black hair and reminds him of his son. So anyway, he raises him, and then eventually the Indian dies, and Chateau is on his own, and he gets caught by a gunslinger, which is a well-known gunsmith also. He gets caught trying to steal the guy's horse, and so anyway, finds out that the kid is white, not Indian, and so he raises him as his brother or whatever, you know. And along the way of writing the story and everything, I do a lot of reading on my own. And I had read that when you're writing, I've read this from a lot of people that are pretty good writers, that your characters won't do it. Your characters take over the story and they write the story for you. And I thought that was a bunch of bull. And so I was like, in, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 chapters into the Chateau book, and pretty soon I wrote something, and my character says, I'm not doing this. and so anyway, I said, okay, you're not doing this, so let's see what you're going to do. And so I just wrote what he wanted me to write, and so the characters took over the story, and they wrote the story.
Oh, I love that.
Or not.
I love that. I've heard that from other people, too, as well. What do you hope people take away from reading Chateau?
What was that again?
What do you hope people take away from reading this book, this novel?
I just wrote it to be for entertainment, you know, for people to enjoy and just relax and just enjoy it, you know, and there's really no moral to the story, I guess. It's just an adventure. And it's about, he doesn't know, he marries, this gal, that is, sister to his friend that he had gotten in a fight in Tombstone with. And, he marries her and they're raising a ranch over in Indian Territory. And he comes home one day from herding cattle and she's gone. And the cabin is in the shambles, and so he chases them. He's trying to get his wife back. He doesn't know why they're taking him, and so he goes back over his life of the time he can remember of his life and the episodes in his life and different things, trying to figure out who would want to take his wife. And so that's interspersed with flashbacks like that.
Wow. Well, very entertaining, and I think you nailed it. It's about an adventure, and it's the perfect book to read and get lost in a well-written adventure, Chateau. Kelsey Gates, thanks for coming on.
Oh, you're quite welcome, Kate. Thank you for having me.
You know, it's so interesting. Kelsey even has the right voice, doesn't he, for a guy who did a Western, and it really is a well-written book. You know, people look for good Western books. I would put this on your list, absolutely. And I already mentioned it a couple times, of course. Go to Amazon. That's where you can get it. So thanks to him for that and to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Hashtag, I love me some Westerns. This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.